The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I'll make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening. Anybody here who is afraid of the dark? Nobody? Brave people. When I grew up, I was afraid of the dark. It was a village at the foot of a hill, and there was no electricity. We had to do with the kerosene light, just one at home. If you needed to do your homework, you took it from where it was dead and then put it back for the family to use. And there was no bathroom as we have today. If you needed to answer the call of nature, you go into the fields, and it is unsafe. Insects, snakes, and I know of people who died of snake bite. And it happened very close to the farm that my family owns. So afraid of the dark. Anybody afraid of the darkness of the mind? I see some heads nodding. I have some friends of mine. I was saying mass at St. John's Senior Community in a new admit, and I recognized it was the people I knew. And after Mass, the wife told me, advanced years, she said, "Father, today he asked me, will you marry me?" And she was shocked when he asked that question. And she said, "Yes, I would." Knowing his mental condition, "Oh, I am relieved," he said. And they have been married for 50, 60 years. Darkness of the mind. In these days, you have heard some back and forth conversation about former President Ronald Reagan. Actually, 10 years ago, just before Christmas, John Paul II and his biographer, George Weigel, I suppose I pronounced his name correctly, were having a conversation. The Pope asked George, "How is Ronald Reagan?" And apparently, George Weigel had run into Edwin Meese, the former Attorney General of U.S. And he had given him a piece of information which he shared, George shared with the Pope. That 12 years after he had left office, they named the president a ship after him, USS Ronald Reagan. And because of his condition, he could not be present for the christening of that ship. So Edwin Meese was sent by the government to tell Ronald Reagan about this event and present him with that special cap that was given on the day of the christening. As a gentleman, as always, he said, "Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. But how come they named this ship after me?" There was that blank, darkness that fallen on his mind, that for 8 years he had led the free world, that he was one of those two giants, along with John Paul II, responsible for the defeat of communism. When he said that famous words, "Gorbachev, tear down this wall," he had already stared down on the evil of communism. Though we are afraid of mental darkness, but there is one other darkness all of us have to say, yes, we have that, is the darkness of threat that belongs to the human condition. It is existential. That threat of death. Who is not afraid of death? And along with that, the threat, the anguish of emptiness, meaninglessness. Why? What's the meaning of all this? And then again, the darkness, the threat of guilt and condemnation. Scripture says we are all sinners. Period. So, there is the guilt, there is the condemnation, rejection, our own self-rejection, and the fear of possible eternal rejection that looms before our minds all the time. What is the answer to this existential threat, darkness, anguish? Centuries ago, Isaiah the prophet, inspired by the Spirit of God, looks far into the future and says, anguish has taken wing, dispelled its darkness. Where there was gloom, where there was distress, the people have seen a great light. Here is a promise. And the promise in today's gospel, Matthew quotes exactly the same words of Isaiah. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. Jesus is the answer. That's why John Paul II, he is now on the way to becoming blessed. In May, he will be beatified. He used to say this wherever he went. Do not be afraid to open your heart to Jesus Christ. In him is life. In him is our salvation. The answer to the anguish of our human condition. Threat of meaninglessness, emptiness, threat of guilt, condemnation, and finally death. Now we might ask, how does Jesus become the answer? He became man, shared everything that you and I share, and he died the cruelest form of death. And God the Father resurrected him, vindicates him, vindicates the message Jesus preached. All he says, come after me, and he is alive. So it is, while we are sinners, Jesus says, come. It is with this baggage that we respond to his call. That's why Vatican II constitutions on the church, the earliest first document, it says in Latin, simul justus et peccator. Now, I ask, can this be lit and not lit at the same time? Can't be. Illogical. Sinful, just at the same time. Should be illogical. If you are sinful, you are not just. If you are just, not sinful. But here is the paradox. That is the message. We are sinful. It is the mercy of the Lord. We have the baptismal ceremony. Of course, here the child is already clothed in a beautiful flowing white dress. Technically, the white dress is supplied, should be, by the church. So still, to remind that beautiful symbolism, there is an added white piece put on the child after the baptism. Now, a child of God. Jesus came, and somehow he gathers us all into himself. And that is the theological truth. So when God the Father looks, what does he look? Not you, me, as we truly deserve, but he looks like my son Jesus. She looks like my child. So God the Father looks at Jesus in us. We are clothed with Jesus, who is the answer to everything, all the evils. The verse before the gospel, he cured every disease. The worst disease is those three elements that I just mentioned. Death, guilt, condemnation, emptiness, meaninglessness. No other cure. There is no escape. As human beings, we will experience it. There may be 1,000 people surrounding you. When that moment comes, death, you have to go solo. We are afraid not so much of death per se, but the process of dying. We die 1,000 times. Shakespeare has said, the valiant but die once, the coward 1,000 times. The process. But Jesus has gone through that way. What he says, hold on to my hand. I will be your shepherd. I will lead you. On Holy Saturday, the priest takes the lit paschal candle and marches. The church is dark. The only light is light of the paschal candle, and three times he sings, Lumen Christi, Deo Gratias, and then a higher pitch. Christ the light. And in the book of Revelation, St. John the Divine, who had his head on the bosom of Jesus at the Last Supper, that way he could hear that tick-tack of the heart. The mysteries of life were transferred to him, and his gospel is the most mystical of all the other gospels. And he is the author of Revelations. And there he says, in the heavenly Jerusalem, there will not be a need for a lamb, L-A-M-B, because the lamb, L-A-M-B, is the lamb. And that lamb will lead us in procession to the eternal springs of life. So, in spite of this existential darkness, we just fall prostrate at the feet of Jesus. We take his hand. We cling to him. We assert our faith always. That's why St. Paul in the second reading tells us the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. The cross of Christ, he shared the human condition. He died. He is risen. He is alive. He is the powerhouse. He is constituted, enthroned as the Son of God. In him, through him, is our life.